phenomenal. I just want to welcome you, whether you're online or you're in Hiawassee or you're here in a gym in Morganton. I just want to say thank you for joining us here at Vertical Church. My name is Philip. I'm part of the team here, and I'm so glad that you're with us. I believe that God is going to speak into your life today because I believe, and our church does as well, that the Bible's alive and active. And that when we get into the Bible, like it has an opportunity, like the scripture says in Hebrews 4, it can pierce deep into our heart and soul. And so we believe that's going to happen today. And if you're new to Vertical, that's okay. We're very excited that you're here. I teach from the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's a very bizarre thing that can happen from time to time. Today we're going Old Testament, okay? We're in a series right now called Win the Day. Win the Day. We're in week 3 of Win the Day. Hopefully you enjoyed it last week. It spoke into your life. And we're going to turn to Joshua chapter 9 today. Joshua chapter 9. If you want to turn there, maybe you've got a Bible app that you want to open up. Maybe you've got your actual Bible. My dad or mom, will one of you guys flip on a couple lights so that if people are here and you have your actual Bible and you want to open up, I would love for you to read along because I think it's important for us to highlight and to underline and to remember things that God says to us when we read his word. And so if you want to turn, that'd be great. But if you didn't bring anything to read, that's okay. We're going to put it up on the screen. And we believe that'll speak into your life as well. And we want to offer that to you as well. So Joshua chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 1. Verse 1. Now, when all the kings west of the Jordan heard about these things, the kings in the hill country, in the western foothills, and all along the entire coast of the Mediterranean Sea, as far as Lebanon, the kings of the Hittites and the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and all their cousins, apparently, they came together to wage war against Joshua and Israel. However, when the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to a ruse. They went to a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn-out sacks and old wineskins, cracked and mended. They put on worn and patched sandals on their feet and wore old clothes, and all the bread of their supply was dry and moldy. And then they went to Joshua in the camp at Gilgad and said to him and the Israelites, "We've come from a distant country. Make a treaty with us." You see, I think sometimes when we're doing the things that God has asked us to do, we maybe forget sometimes that there's an enemy that is not going to be happy with that. There's an enemy that is not going to be thrilled with that. You see, God had said to the Israelites, "I'm going to give you this promised land." And we all like, "I'd like a promised land." But see, the Israelites, something we don't always highlight is they had to fight for it. God said, "It's yours. I'm giving it to you, but you've got to go take the land." There was a portion that the Israelites were responsible in what God has asked them to do, and it's to go take this land. And as you just heard from the list, there's a couple people there. There's a couple people who don't want to give up this land because it's quite nice. It's promised. It's flowing with milk and honey just like God said it was. And so God has called them to, and he says, "Don't make any treaty with the people in this land. The people in this land, they do not honor me. They do not seek the things that I tell them to seek. They do not follow our laws. They're wicked people. Do not make treaties with them. It will not go well for you." And the Israelites, they understand that. The Israelites know what God has asked them to do. But here's the thing. When the enemy comes to deceive us, was it some kind of haphazard plan? Did these guys just kind of throw together a plan real quick and go, "Maybe this will fool the Israelites"? No, they saw a city like Jericho that had high, difficult walls that was basically like stinking out of the like Lord of the Rings. Like, those walls don't fall. You know what I'm saying? You remember Rohan saying this if you watched Lord of the Rings? They're like, "These walls don't fall." And then you know what happens? The walls, they fall. If you don't watch Lord of the Rings, it's one of my personal favorites. You should check it out. Okay, we watch it every year around Christmas time. And so the walls fall. Jericho falls, and people hear about that because people in this land, they knew Jericho was impenetrable. It was a top-notch city. And then if the Israelites can beat Jericho, that's a problem. And so Gibeon says, "These people aren't losing. In case you're wondering, they've beat everybody that we throw at them." And so they go, "We've got to beat these people a different way." And the enemy says that in your life as well. If you're starting to have success and you're starting to see God do things in your life, what is the enemy going to do? He's going to try to distract you. He's going to try to come up with a different plan. He's going to come up with a different way to get you to not do what God wants to do in and through your life. At this church, we believe deeply that God has a plan for your life. And so here's the thing. The enemy doesn't like that. The enemy doesn't like that. One, because the more you do what God asks you to do, and the more you start to realize, wait a minute, I think God is who he says he is, that's a problem for the enemy. And so he's got to distract you. He's got to deceive you. He's got to go work in your life. And he does it for the Israelites as well, because the Israelites are growing in confidence. Every battle they win, they're starting to see more and more God is who he says he is. And that's a problem. And so the people come up with a very clever plan. They think every detail through. They've got sandals that are worn out. They've got old, moldy bread. I don't know why they had that left in general. I don't know about your household. We don't let carbs last very long to get to the moldy stage in the Kite household, but apparently these people did. And so they got old bread. They got old wine skins. Everything is old. And they throw it all together. And they go to them. They say, hey, make a treaty with us. It was a very clever plan, but look what the Israelites say in verse 7. The Israelites said to the Hivites, but perhaps you live near us, so how can we make a treaty with you? That's a good answer. That's a good answer. You know, we kind of joke around at Vertical Church, good answer. If you ever watch Family Feud, like that's kind of the one of the things we like to encourage ourselves with, good answer. So you should be cheering the Israelites on. This is the right answer. They know, don't make treaties. Don't make treaties with the people who live nearby. So they go, how do we know you're not trying to fool us? That's the right answer. See, this was a crucial point. They knew God had called them to do something, and so they're trying to follow what God has asked them to do. Many a times, I believe most of us are trying to do that. We know what God has asked us to do, and so we're trying to follow that. But one of the things that we talk a lot about Vertical Church is to be in the Bible. That you've got this pastor up here who keeps talking about that seems to be vastly important to us to read the Bible. Ever since he's gotten here, he's had us do things like read the Bible in a year plans and things like that. Why is that so important? Because one of the things is, even though we talk about God's got an individual plan for you, one of the things that can happen if we're not careful is we think that God's plan is so individual for us, and maybe doesn't look what other people are called to do. And in some ways, that is true. What God's calling you to in some ways may look differently. It may look differently with how many kids you have or what kind of business you're in or where you live. And those kind of things may be specific. But if we're not careful, we kind of tend to elevate what God has called us to personally and forget that God has called all of us as Christ followers to the same things according to the Word of God. And sometimes when we're so focused on what does he call us to personally, we miss what he's called us to corporately. And that's why it's so important for us to know the Word of God, is because even if we're trying to figure out what he's called us to personally, the Bible's very clear what some of the stuff should look like regardless of where you live, regardless of your age, regardless of your gender, regardless of how much money you make, regardless of any of that. There's certain things that all of us are called to as Christians. Like Jesus came and said, hey, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He said, if you do those two things, that summarizes the whole entire law. And I don't know about you, but every day I wake up, if I do those two things, I feel like I won the day. Because that's not always easy, especially the love your neighbor as your part. You guys ever met other humans? Have you ever felt like after you meet other humans that maybe the second part of that verse is not as easy as Jesus made it seem like, right? Come on, y'all. I know Hiawassee or online is, giving something up there, because, I mean, people in here are like, I don't know if I can admit that. I mean, I've met other humans. I saw them on the road this morning. I mean, the other day I'm driving trying to get here to set up for church, and someone decides in a 45 that 35 seems to be the speed limit. Y'all, I know I shouldn't admit this. I may have a little bit of road rage if you go significantly under the speed limit. I understand it's October in North Georgia, and it is beautiful. And what I need you to do to enjoy the beauty is not be on the road. I need you to move off the road. The road is for transporting all of us still trying to get from point A to point B in some semblance of a reasonable time. Amen. Amen. That's the most amens I got in a long time. That's powerful. Some of y'all resonate with that. Okay. Noted. I'm not the only person with a little road rage. I mean, I drive around like I wish Mario Kart was real life. I don't want you to pass away, but I do want a turtle that will send you careening off the road and out of my way. And then something nice will bring you back and put you behind me, because at that point, it's not my problem. You're alive, you're back, but I need you behind me. Anyway, that's really not crucial to our spiritual growth. but maybe for my mental health it is. And see, if we value what God's doing for us personally over what he said to do corporately, we kind of get disjointed as a body of believers. We get disjointed as a body of believers. And I think that's why it's so important that we know what God has called us to according to the Bible. It's why vertical groups are so important at this church. It's why at this church that we believe Sunday morning is not the pinnacle of your spiritual health or growth. It's actually just a catalyst. It's just a catalyst to help spur you on to what God wants to do in your life the rest of the week. It's why vertical groups are so important, because if you haven't discovered this, the Bible's not easy to read, right? Have you ever tried to read the Bible all the way through? Genesis to Revelation. And maybe you get all the way through, and you're doing pretty good until you get to Revelation, right? And you're like, wait a minute, I may have one or two questions, okay? If not, I guess I'm the only person. I get to Revelation, I'm like, God, I've got one or two questions here, okay? But that's why vertical groups are so important. The Bible's not designed for you just to read on your own. And you go read in the New Testament, Philip's going along. He was a powerful person, you know. You should name your kids after somebody like Philip from the Bible, you know, even. Huh. And so Philip goes along and he sees somebody reading the Bible and he's reading through the Old Testament. He's like, I don't know what this means. And so he asks questions. That's why vertical groups can be so important. There's a lot of vertical group leaders that want to help you engage with the Bible, to see that it's okay to ask questions and help us try to understand what this book is calling us to. And so I encourage you, if you're not involved in a vertical group, you're not involved in a Bible study, please let me encourage you. Go look them up. Go try them out. We love the group that Kale and I, we go to the 20s and 30s group. We love going, and we just get into the Bible. Gabe and Gabby lead it. They do a great job. And when we're just trying to go, this is the Word of God, and we ask the same two questions. What stuck out to you, and how does this apply to our life? And we just talk about it as a group. It's a great time, and we hope that you get involved with a vertical group. Look at verse 8. They're finally responding to the Israelites. It says, we are your servants, they said to Joshua. But Joshua asked, who are you, and where do you come from? Joshua, see, he's not quite buying it. And they answered, your servants had come from a very distant country because of the fame of the Lord your God. For we've heard reports from them, all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth, and our elders and all those living in our country said to us, take provisions for your journey. Go and meet to them and say, we are your servants. Make a treaty with us. This bread of ours was warm when we packed it at home on the day we left it come to you, but now see how dry and moldy it is. And these wineskins that we filled were new, but see how cracked they are, and our clothes and sandals are worn out by the very long journey. And then Joshua 9:14 is a verse that when I read several years ago, it has always stuck with me. Verse 14 says, the Israelites sampled their provisions, but did not inquire of the Lord. They sampled the provisions, but they didn't inquire of the Lord. And you see, I wonder, have we ever thought to truly win the day? We've got to be people who don't stop at just sampling provisions and forget to inquire of the Lord. See, I don't know if you've noticed this, as you kind of get older, there tends to be an opportunity for you to develop skills, to develop talents. As you grow in experience, you may discover you're good at certain areas in life. You seem to be even quite adept at doing well in certain areas. And see, here's the thing. The temptation in life is, as you develop certain knowledge or skills or talents in areas, the temptation will rise continually. This is an area where you will sample the provisions, but no longer inquire of the Lord. Because we start to think, maybe in this area, I kind of know what's going on. I kind of know what I'm doing here. I'm pretty good at this. I don't need to inquire of the Lord. And maybe we wouldn't say it like that, right? I mean, if you're showing up online or in Hiawassee, you're here in Morton, you would go, I'm at church. I wouldn't say like that. I would never look at God and say, I've got this. Well, neither would the Israelites. The Israelites never meant for verse 14 to happen. You see, checking and sampling the provisions wasn't a sin. You see, trying to use wisdom and decipher what's going on and do the right thing, That's not a sin. The sin became when you trust in your own wisdom rather than the Lord's. The sin became when you want to trust in your own ways rather than God's ways. That is what became the sin. And see, many of us, when we walk in, we would go, I would never think that I'd do that. But it can happen. And it can happen without us even intentionally trying to do that. You see, maybe you walk in and you go, God, I really know how to handle my finances, or God, I really know about my political beliefs, or God, I really know how to run my family, or God, I really know how I can decipher what kind of relationships I need to be in. God, I'm good in, you fill in the blank. God, I'm good at sampling the provisions in this area. And I kind of, at some point, stopped inquiring of the Lord. But see, if we want to win the day, Scripture seems to be calling us to do something different rather than just stopping at sampling the provisions. Look at Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 is two verses I've quoted a lot in my time here at Vertical because I love the way that they, in two verses, can kind of summarize a lot of what God is calling us to. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Almost every night when Kale and I go to bed, we pray some of the same stuff over and over and over and again in our life. And one of the things we pray is, God, make our steps steady and our path straight. And it's really just a combination of two different Old Testament verses. There's an Old Testament verse that talks about praying that the Holy Spirit will make our steps steady and that God will make our path straight. And we just combine those two verses into a prayer that we pray almost every single day. But see, here's the thing. I can pray that prayer, but do I apply it to my life? I wonder how some of us may be tempted to pray certain things but not apply them. You see, if I want my path to be straight, in that same verse it says I've got to submit in all my ways. That verse would say then I can't be someone who samples the provisions and doesn't inquire of the Lord anymore. You see, right now, maybe you're newer to Vertical or you've been here a long time. One of the things that we want to do is we want to be back in Blairsville. We really want to be back in Blairsville. We used to meet there as a church. Some things happened with COVID. We're here. We're very thankful. The Mount Airy Christian Academy opened their doors to us very gracefully, and we really appreciate it. But one day, we want to be back in Blairsville, and we own land there, debt-free. Thank the Lord. But see, here's the thing is, when COVID happened, the price of building went up. I don't know if any of y'all know that. When we started talking about prices, we liked the prices when we first started talking about building. We liked the prices a lot. Then after COVID happened, the prices doubled. We don't like prices that double very much. I don't know about you. You know, if you go buy bread and it's $2, you get less excited if bread costs $4. You know what I'm saying? If buildings cost $125 a square foot, we like $125 a square foot. When prices are $250 a square foot, we don't like that very much. Because in case you're wondering, we don't need a 100 square foot building. It's going to have to be a little bit bigger than that. And so we go, well, maybe we do need to build, or maybe we need to try to find an existing building and fix that up. And we're trying to explore every possible opportunity to get back to Blairsville. And so here's the thing. We're going to sample the provisions. We're going to look at every opportunity. We're going to try to use as much wisdom as possible, but we're also going to try to follow Scripture and go, God, at the end of the day, where do you want us? Because we may find the perfect opportunity. We may find everything that checks off in our wisdom. But we've got to pray as a church, God, where will you bless us? Because as a church, we could find on paper the perfect opportunity. But if we don't inquire of the Lord, it's a problem. And thankfully, the people who are leading this church, they want at the end of the day to say, God, where is it ultimately that you will bless us? Because it may not be everything that we thought it would be, but if God says, I'm going to be in it, and I'm going to meet you there, and this is where I will bless you, that's where we want to go. And so it doesn't always make sense to us, but it says, in all of your ways, submit to the Lord. Submit to him. And see, there's such this temptation to finally start to say when we get good at things in life, I've got this. I mean, think about it. They looked at the sandals. They looked at the bread. They looked at the wineskin. They looked at everything. They checked every single box. Guys, this was an airtight investigation. This was an airtight investigation. If they went to court on this case, they would win every last time. The investigation was airtight on this thing. Then look what it says in verse 15. Then Joshua made a treaty of peace with them to let them live, and the leaders of the assembly ratified it by oath. 3 days after they made the treaty with the Gibeonites, the Israelites heard that they were neighbors living near them. 3 days later, after making this treaty, they learned these people are our neighbors. We've made a treaty with the exact type of people that God said, don't make a treaty with. We've done exactly what God asked us not to do. And see, they later learned what God already knew. Have you ever experienced that in life before? You later learned something that God already knew, but in my haste to do something, and my haste for an airtight investigation, and in my haste to sample the provisions, I figured out the right answer that really wasn't the right answer. It wasn't what God already knew. See, something we've talked about in this church before is God's foresight is clearer than our hindsight. God's foresight is clearer than our hindsight. And maybe you're kind of wrapping your mind a little bit around that, and it's because God can see things coming up more clearly than we can after we evaluate what's already happened. You've heard the phrase, hindsight is 20/20, right? After hindsight, things happen. You know, maybe your favorite sports team traded for a player. Well, in hindsight, that hasn't worked out real well, has it? You know? I was talking to Kalen, you know, about Atlanta United. Any soccer fans? I always ask. There never is. Okay, one or two. Okay, praise the Lord. You know, y'all have a little confidence. I see like one like hand like, yeah. It's okay. I'll be the one soccer fan at our church. That'll be all right. I was judging our team because we let a good player go and then we signed another player for more money. And guess what? He never plays. He's always hurt or quite frankly, he's not very good. I said, in hindsight, that deal is terrible. See, in hindsight, as humans, we can judge things and it looks pretty clear in hindsight. But see, they later learned what God already knew. And that's why he calls us, don't just sample the provisions because I already knew the answer to this. Sampling the provisions was not the sin, though. Looking to use wisdom was not the sin. But stopping there was. To win the day, we must continually submit to the Lord in all of our ways. If the worship team wants to come up, I want to ask this question in a different way. I want to ask this question a different way. When's the last time God contradicted you? When's the last time God contradicted you? You may go, what do you mean by that? Well, let me put it to you in these verses. See, if they had gone to God after they've sampled the provisions, if they've gone to God after they've checked every box, if they've gone to God after they've had the airtight investigation, what would God have told them? Don't make a treaty with these people. And they would have gone, but God, you don't understand. Like, look at the bread, look at the sandals, look at the wineskin, look at their clothes. Everything is old. God, Dev, you looked at that, God. And God would have said, don't make a treaty with those people. God would have contradicted all of their wisdom. God would have contradicted all of their thoughts. He would have contradicted their opinion on this. When's the last time God contradicted you? And the reason I ask that question is because if you can't remember the last time God ever contradicted to you, I submit you may be following yourself and not the God of the Bible. If God never contradicts you anymore, I submit to you, you may be following yourself as an idol. Your opinion is always right. Your opinion on every matter cannot be topped. And here's the thing, the Israelites in all earthly wisdom would have been absolutely right. But when they inquired the Lord, he would have contradicted their wisdom. And the real root of this, the reason we cannot win the day without being people who submit to God in all of our ways, is because if we ever let an area of our life stop at sampling the provisions, and we don't need to inquire of the Lord, what we ultimately tell God with our actions is, my wisdom is on par with you. Whenever we get to a place in life where we no longer are willing to submit and go, God, I've looked at this every single way and I really think I've got the right answer, but ultimately, what is that you want me to do? If we can't get to that point, we're essentially saying to God with our actions, my wisdom is on par with you. And we will never win the day with that kind of pride. And so whether it's our relationships, or whether it's our business, or whether it's our finances, whatever it is, big or small, is there an area of our life that has reached the place where we will sample the provisions but no longer inquire of the Lord? Because if we want to win the day, we must submit in all of our ways. Even if it means God is going to contradict us. Even if it means God may tell us that even after our airtight investigations and we've investigated it all the way through, even if we've got the right answer, if God says, no, you need to do this, are we willing to submit? And so, Lord, we invite you in this time. It's not easy to submit sometimes. It's not easy when it comes to dealing with our pride. It's not easy to ever admit that, God, maybe we somehow got something wrong. So we ask for your grace. Meet us in these moments where something needs to change. God, I'm sorry for any area of my life that I've ever thought I don't need to inquire of the Lord anymore. Won't you please show us your love and your mercy? Help us to change our ways. Help us to not see Joshua 9:14 happen in our own lives. Help us to always remember each and every day to submit to the Lord in all of our ways and never stop inquiring of the Lord. Whether you're online or in Hiawatha, you're here in the building, I invite you, if you are willing and want to, stand up right now. If you'll just stand, we're going to close out in worship. And invite you in this time to pray. I invite you in this time to seek the Lord. Maybe you want to pray the words of the song. Maybe you want to worship. Maybe there's some other things you want to say to God right now. Quite honestly, maybe there's something you want to talk to God about that has nothing to do with the sermon, and that's okay. Because right now, this is God's time with you. And so I ask, more than anything, will we just turn our hearts and minds to him and ask him to meet us right here in this moment and to change us and make us to be everything that he wants us to be. We love you, Jesus.